Hour number two of Sports Talk begins. Jimmy Hyams is at Oak Ridge Nissan, and we get to say thanks to our friends at Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. Hello to Coach Al Brown. Coach, how are you?
Oh, great, John. Good to be with you and Jimmy today. It's a beautiful day in East Tennessee, and enjoyable day to talk about sports in general and basketball specifically.
Well, normally, and I'm not saying it's not happening right now, but normally the pandemonium is reserved for Oak Ridge Nissan. But, Coach, from your perspective, what's it been like to watch headline after headline, and all of them good this week, for Tennessee basketball? What's it been like to see those come and as well as process all that has happened this week alone for Rick Barnes' program?
Well, we certainly hope that the new additions, and I believe there are six of them, are positive additions. But when you bring in that many players and they're from different stages of their careers, it's always interesting to put them together. So hopefully they'll have a summer and fall to get the team together and make sure that everybody's on the same page, because it takes a while in this particular situation. But certainly looks like they've got some talent. They've got a couple post players who are 6'11 and 6'9 that looks like they can help. And so it's an exciting time for basketball, even though it's the off season.
Al, what do you think the impact is of John Fulkerson returning to Tennessee?
I think it's huge, and I think it's huge, Jimmy, for a lot of reasons. One, Fulkerson comes back as a veteran, knowing the system and knowing what needs to be done to win, and coming off a season that was not a typical Fulkerson season based on his junior year, with a lot to prove and the experience to prove it. I think it's wonderful, and all they need is another post to go with him, somebody who can defend and also score some points to take the pressure off of John, because he had a lot of pressure on him last year. Even though Pons was there, it still left Fulkerson the mainstay of the offense, post offense, and that was tough for him to handle.
Al, I wrote this and said this, and I don't know if it's true, but I want to get your take on it. I do think, this was an opinion, that he wanted Tennessee to give him some help inside, and he got it, or at least it appears he got it, with Adu and with Huntley Hatfield. I think that played a role in him returning. Do you think it did?
Jimmy, it's hard to tell because I don't know him personally, but I would say that's right. I think he struggled, particularly on the offensive end. Pons was so inconsistent as a scorer. He certainly was a good defender, but certainly inconsistent as a scorer. And I think Fulkerson may have felt more pressure to produce points, and that caused him to press a little bit, and that's never a good thing. So the fact that Plasek and Kumwa are back, and then you've got, as you mentioned, Adu and Huntley Hatfield coming in, I think John feels like the help is there. And hopefully he'll have a wonderful year, as we do hope the Tennessee Volunteers do.
I think Kennedy Chandler for sure is going to have an immediate impact. He's going to be the point guard, I think, from day one. Al, who do you think will have the next biggest impact? Could it be the Auburn transfer, Justin Powell? One of the big men we talked about, Jamal Mashick. Who do you think might have the second most impact of the newcomers?
A lot of people like Mashick, but I find that because of his height, where is he going to play behind Bailey, Vescovi, James, those guys? But he may work his way in. But I answered your question. I would say Powell, because of his proven SEC experience and the fact that he's can play the point as well as the wing, and he's a three-point shooter. So that to me is the one outside of Kennedy Chandler that you mentioned.
when you look at, and as you were talking about, Coach, that's a, there are a lot of newcomers that are headed this way, and you also have a young man. Part of the big news, as Jimmy highlighted earlier, is that you have somebody reclassifying. We got to speak with Bobby Mays, who's very familiar with him, but what do you think are the biggest challenges? Bobby said he thought it was just perhaps starting with being such a young man that's trying to transition from the atmosphere in high school to perhaps life on a college campus. What do you, how important, how big would that be in terms of challenges for somebody that's coming to school a year earlier than planned, as well as what are the biggest obstacles in being able to know that you can compete with those guys that might be 3, 4, or 5 years more experienced at their game than yours?
Well, I would agree with Bobby's assessment of that. The question about Huntley Hatfield is, how mature is he? Can he handle college life, for one thing, and then the college basketball experience? Coming into the SEC is not a cakewalk, and it's certainly a far cry from high school. And this young man has just had 3 years of high school experience, and he's reclassified to come in, and thankfully so. He's 6'9", 230. He fills the bill for a post player. If he is mature and is able to adapt himself to his teammates and the college game quickly, he could be a big asset.
When you do have perhaps help in that regard, just as you and Jimmy were talking about, John Fulkerson has some other big men that might help shoulder the load as well as draw some of the attention in the front court away from him for somebody like Huntley Hatfield. If Jonas Adu can contribute, if Fulkerson, of course, is back to the level of play that he was as he closed out his outstanding 2019-2020 season, do you think that can help make a transition earlier for somebody who is reclassifying?
Well, I think it will. I think Fulkerson will definitely help because he's a team first man, and I think his wisdom and leadership will be invaluable for Adu and Huntley Hatfield, no question about it. And Plasek has proven that he is a team player as well, and I think he will help these young men adjust to the college situation in the SEC.
Why don't we go ahead and grab a break? We've got more with Coach Brown coming up. His appearance brought to you by our good friends at Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. And Coach, they've been friends and almost like family for you for years and years, haven't they?
Yes, they have. Jimmy and Joe and Reagan and all the family, just wonderful folks that care about everybody who comes in and is a part of their operation and who needs help. They're there to help in any way they can. If you haven't had the Matlock experience, it's time to try them out.
Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair, chances are there's one near you. Al Brown, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, his appearance brought to you by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. If you have a question or comment for Coach, 656-9900, 656-9900.
Al, what do you think of Arkansas's Eric Musselman getting not just a 5-year extension, but 1 year added on if he can make the NCAA tournament twice?
Well, I think it's a great tribute to his coaching ability and what they think of him internally there. I always believed that, and I've always believed in him as a coach, what he did at Nevada, what he did in the NBA. His background with his father, I think he's very deserving. And I tell you one thing, Jimmy, he fits this new paradigm in terms of what's going on with the transfers and everything else, because he's had that pro experience, particularly if you coach in the CBA or the G League, you have to restructure your roster consistently, even throughout the course of the season, because players are picked up and traded, and so you have to, the adaptability has to be there, and he's proven he can do that. So I think it's a wise move on the Razorbacks' part.
There's been some discussion about adding a sixth foul in college basketball. I favor it because I think the officiating is so poor. I don't like the idea of key players getting two quick fouls and having to sit the rest of the half. If officiating was better, I wouldn't feel this way. But many others don't feel that way. They want to keep it at five because in college, obviously, you're playing 48 minutes. NBA, you're playing 48 minutes, and so that makes sense for the NBA to have six. What are your thoughts on college basketball having a six-foul rule for disqualification instead of five?
I think it's excellent, Jimmy, and the point you made is they could get away with five if the officials understood the game a little more. And what I mean by that is you want the star players on the court playing. Now, if they commit stupid fouls, then certainly call them.
Right.
But those ticky-tack fouls that they call are blocking fouls, screening fouls at times aren't really fouls. And the officials know the players. I mean, they've been around the block a couple of times, so they know the best players on the teams. And the fans come to watch the best players play. So they don't want to come and watch the best players sit on the bench for the first half with two fouls, which is, as a coach, you really should do. So I think the sixth foul would be certainly added. I know a lot of people think, well, that's going to be more physical. Well, I believe you mentioned it the other day. They have flagrant one and two fouls that can counteract any kind of physical play, and it's certainly as physical a game as it used to be anyway.
Coach, we saw the WNBA draft. What did you think of the opportunity that now is in front of Renia Davis as she is on her way to Minnesota?
Well, she went to a team that's got an open roster. A lot of these WNBA teams don't have open rosters. They draft players for the future, and they'll either send them overseas or just keep the rights to the player for another year. So she's going to get an opportunity with the Lynx to show what she can do. I think it was a good place for her to land, and Cheryl Reeves, an excellent coach, is championship caliber coach, and so I think it's a great fit. I think probably she might have been disappointed thinking she would go earlier to either Atlanta or to Indiana, but that didn't work out, and she ended up probably in a better place than either one of the two I mentioned.
And then, as we've seen, Coach Barnes have to deal with a couple of openings on his staff. Kelly Harper has one now. How important is it to make a – obviously it's important to make a good hire, but what do you think in terms of Kelly with a spot to fill on her staff?
Well, actually, John, she's got
two
spots to fill.
Yes, she does.
And she is working very diligently to make that happen. I know that. It's always difficult when you change over your staff, but those things come up, and you have to have a backlog of coaches that you would hire in case these things happen, and I think she does have. So, in fact, I think one announcement would be coming up in the very near future as to one replacement.
Al, do you think that Renia Davis can be a great NBA player, not necessarily on the level of a Candace Parker, Tamika Catchings, but do you think she can be a star in the WNBA?
Not really a star, Jimmy. She's got too much work to do. Her play with off the dribble is she's not able to create for herself without space to work. She doesn't like a pick-and-roll situation. She's uncomfortable with that, particularly with the switches. Her three-point shooting is suspect, both off the catch and off the dribble. But all those things can improve, and she's a willing worker. So it's right now I wouldn't project that to occur, but anything can happen with somebody that's willing to go to work as she is.
Hey, I had another officiating question for you. When did it become legal in college basketball to dive and slide with the ball for 5 feet without it being traveling? When was that rule put in? I'm sorry, I missed that one.
Great question, Jimmy. I have no idea when that one came in. because you see these players land on the floor, slide with the ball, and there's nothing called other than maybe a jump ball if they're tied up, and no travel. And as soon as that pivot foot leaves the floor, as the rule book will tell you, it's a travel. And the officials are lax in calling that without question.
You mentioned in the notes that you send us, which we love, on the men's side, there were about 1,200 in the basketball transfer portal, 1,400 on the women's side. I didn't realize there were more women than men in the portal. But Konzo Martin said he loves the transfer portal because he loves assembling a team and putting it together in the summer. Do you like the transfer portal?
Well, Jimmy, I'm not a big proponent of the transfer portal from the standpoint of players just leaving, and now they're going to be granted 1 year immediate eligibility with the transfer. Young men don't stay in one place and battle some adversity to move forward. They just want to change schools. This happens in AAU ball. They don't like their AAU coach. They change AAU programs. High school, they change that. So I'm not a big believer in it. And plus, as we talked about Tennessee's situation, and Florida has about four transfers at least coming in, all these have to be melded and meshed together over the summer to produce a team for the fall.
Coach, shifting gears to the NBA tonight, you've got a pretty nice matchup as the Clippers have traveled cross-country to take on Philadelphia. How do you like the matchup between the Sixers and LAC?
It's a big matchup for LAC because they are struggling in the West. They may be end up being the best team in the West before the season's over, but they've been up and down, and they're playing a hot Philadelphia team who seems to be healthy. A lot of these NBA teams are experiencing health problems, but the 76ers seem to be healthy right now. So it's a big test for the Clippers, not so much for the 76ers, but it ought to be a wonderful game to watch.
Anthony Davis has been given clearance. He could be making a return to the lineup for the Lakers. I guess not a moment too soon, as they've got Utah this weekend.
Well, they have, and Utah has the best record in the league. And, of course, LeBron is still out with his ankle injury. Davis had a leg injury and is back practicing and being cleared to play, as you suggest. But the Lakers have their hands full. And they had their hands full when they were full go on personnel.
And then, Coach, as we've seen the research done, you've got Tennessee baseball, number 3 team in the country, playing host to number 2 Vanderbilt. It is the biggest men's matchup on campus at the University of Tennessee, as Eric Traynor was kind enough to point out that I think was it 16 times, Jimmy, that there was 1 versus 2 or 1 versus 3 with the Lady Vols?
Yeah, 15.
15, mm-hmm. Okay. So you were no stranger to matchups like that, but what do you think in terms of the National Collegiate Baseball Spotlight on Knoxville this weekend?
Oh, it's tremendous, John, and I know I'm stating the obvious. It's too bad they can't play in the Thompson Bowling Arena before 20,000, or even in the football stadium, because the crowd would be enormous. It's too bad that the fans are going to, many of the fans who would love to watch this game are not going to be able to see it in person. So it's tremendous for the university. It's great that we've got an athletic team that is near the top in the standings nationally and bringing great recognition to the University of Tennessee. And Coach Vitale and his staff have done a marvelous job, and the announcing for the game is excellent as well.
I'll pass that along to Vince. Coach, thank you so much. Always appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next Friday.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Thanks, John and Jimmy. And you guys have a great night. Have a great call tonight, John, and bring the volunteers home.
Sure do appreciate it, and we'll do everything I can. But it's a good thing they don't have to count on me. But that's Coach Al Brown. His appearance brought to you by Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair. Chris Burke was on the call, got to call a game last week as Tennessee took on Florida. This week he will have calls tonight and tomorrow as it's number 3 Tennessee against number 2 Vanderbilt. Earlier today I caught up with the BFL.
Well, you got to be on the call last week for one of Tennessee's games against Florida. The national spotlight on Lindsey Nelson Stadium. What's it like to see this matchup, Tennessee at number 3, Vanderbilt at number 2, as week 5 of the SEC season is upon us?
Well, John, I mean, it's historic is what it is. You've been doing it a long time, man. Let me ask you a question. You ever seen a regular season series like this one?
No, there's nothing close.
Pretty crazy, huh?
Yes.
And I think, too, what even makes it bigger, if that's possible, is, like, it's the two most famous pitchers, I think, our sport. Certainly this – I mean, Mark Pryor was probably the most famous college pitcher of this century, and you could argue Vanderbilt has two of them. And I'm not, and when I say that, I don't just mean in prospect status or stuff, or I'm talking about star power. I'm talking about name recognition. I'm talking about must see TV. I'm talking about in major league clubhouses today and tomorrow, they'll have these games on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's one way to look at it to say from the University of Tennessee baseball standpoint, you know, playing for the SEC East lead, a top 5 team hosting an in-state rival that's top 2, like all those things are big enough. And then on top of that, you have these two kind of nationally famous pitchers. You know what I mean? So it even takes it to another level of notoriety. Now, I don't know that part matters much to a Tennessee fan, but I mean more on the national stage.
I think the point is well made. Tennessee faced Kumar Rocker when he was a freshman. Did not get to face him last year as there was no conference play, but you have what he's done in leading the rotation, getting the ball tonight, and then you have Jack Leiter, as you point out, just unbelievable. And when you look at his numbers, each has a no-hitter. Kumar's came in a super regional, and Jack probably tossed the first, they believe, in the regular season in Vanderbilt history, and yet Georgia found a way to beat one and no decision the other. It really is something to see how this season has played out to get to this point, isn't it?
It is. And to bring it back to more of the here and now, I mean, you're talking about a Tennessee team that beat Georgia 2 out of 3, beat Florida 2 out of 3. So if they can beat Vanderbilt 2 out of 3, you like their chances to win the East, just being honest. Now, I mean, the smart money's probably still on Vanderbilt. In that regard, I think Tennessee is position themselves nicely to be in the top 2 in the East. But this weekend, really, I think, and look, if they get swept this weekend or lose 2 out of 3, by no means does that mean I'm down on them, because, you know, Vanderbilt's got, again, these two, you know, generational pitchers, and they have a really good team behind them, by the way. But they are a little banged up. Last week, they proved they can be beaten. And Georgia proved that, I guess. And so, you know, it's doable, even though it's a daunting task.
As we've talked about, the Commodores set, no pun intended, the gold standard for what SEC baseball is right now, because not only do they have the top team ERA in the league, they also have the top team batting average, even though they might be a little bit banged up, but I guess everybody is when you approach week 5 in conference play. Tennessee to be in this position, you go back to last Saturday in the win against Florida. Gators put 3 on the board to grab the lead. Tennessee scored all of its runs in one inning and made it stand up. What do you think of this Tennessee roster, this lineup, and their ability to make the most of opportunities when they're presented?
Well, they've proven it all year long. They obviously have that it factor that allows them to do that. It's hard to actually put your finger on it. I think Tony articulated that well throughout the year, that it is, you know, it sounds cliche-ish, but they've definitely kind of fit that new guy, new hero. I mean, new day, new hero kind of mantra with this team. It's been a team effort, both on the mound and with the bats. That being said, this weekend, I just don't think you're going to beat Vanderbilt stringing together hits. I mean, just look at the batting average against, right? I mean, nobody really gets hits on these guys. So you're going to have to hit the ball in the ballpark. I think Georgia proved that last weekend. And maybe the formula is maybe Kumar and Jack dominate you, but you get them out of there in the sixth. You know, maybe you strike out 12 times in 5 2/3, but the game is still in the balance. You know, maybe you're losing 2-0. Maybe you're losing 3-1, but now you're in the pen. And I do think Vanderbilt's pen is gettable. And I think they kind of know that. And so they do lean heavy on their horses. By the same token, Tim Corbin's playing the long game, not just in this season, but with these guys in their future. So this isn't the 90s where he's going to run Rocker out there for 135 pitches and Leiter for the same, right? Like, those guys are probably, 110, 115 max. And one thing Tennessee's proven is they lead the league in walks. So they know what a strike is. And so it's not necessarily how do you beat Leiter and Rocker. It's how do you score more runs than Vanderbilt today and tomorrow, right? And then Sunday, to me, Tennessee actually has the advantage on the mound. It's can you win one of these two? And can you do it by either hitting a long ball while they're out there or getting them out of there and beating their bullpen?
It really is something to see college baseball shining its spotlight on Lindsey Nelson Stadium. And what do you think this means to Tony Vitello? You had Perfect Game that named him the midseason coach of the year nationally. What do you think it means to reflect on what he's done with this program to this point?
Yeah, we're actually going to have Danny White on the broadcast tonight, and I'm interested, John, in asking him, where he sees Tennessee baseball, because I think this whole season has proven that, you know, granted COVID and some of that actually to a degree helped the demand for the tickets because they're harder to find. But you've seen at the ballpark all year long, people are dying to get into that stadium and watch this team play. You got a young, dynamic coach who's really connected with the fan base. And I think the students, you got this incredibly loud and active section going on, which kind of adds a buzz and an energy to the place. You got this team that keeps pulling out victories in a number of different ways. And you got a conference that is every school in the league is trying to win, and there's some jobs that are probably going to come open without getting into that. So you got a coach who's highly thought of, who's done an incredible rebuild in a very short period of time, and you got, you know, the second worst facility in the Southeastern Conference. And so, you know, you're looking at a coach who's due an extension, who's due a raise, and You're seeing a fan base that shows up in every sport that Tennessee's good at wanting to be out at the ballpark. So I'm curious to see, you know, first of all, to hear from Danny White, and second of all, to see how the next couple months unfold, because I'm hopeful that they'll see SEC baseball as a profitable venture. Just look at the South Carolinas and the SEC West schools who proved that year in and year out. And I'm hopeful that Tennessee gets them a state-of-the-art press box with some luxury suites going down the lines and, you know, a little more seating capacity and update a few of the player amenities that I'm sure Tony would like from a training standpoint. But if you do that, I really think Tennessee baseball is right in the conversation, and I think positioned to be a factor in the league for a long period to come.
I think so as well, and I could not echo more the comments that you just shared, because there is that feeling around the program, and you can see it when you look at the connections that are resulting in what are incoming athletes for upcoming years, depending on how Tennessee fares with the draft, just like everybody else. But if Tennessee continues to win on the field as they are, then you might have to include the Volunteers, Chris, among those programs that might get somebody to say thanks but no to a first-round draft pick so that they can come enjoy the college experience in Knoxville, just as we've seen do it in Nashville, in Fayetteville, in Gainesville, and so on.
Yeah, well, I think you're seeing that with Blade Tidwell. I think you're seeing that with Jordan Beck. I mean, if you talk to Tony, those are kind of the – I think those are the guys 10 years from now, like when Corbin talks about David Price. And I'm not trying to put that on Blade Tidwell, but – But David Price, you know, he was probably a bigger high school prospect than Blade Tidwell. But Blade Tidwell turned down a whole bunch of money to come to campus. And so when kids start doing that, that means they believe in what you have done, what you are doing, and your vision for what you will do. And now the school needs to give him something to sell more than just a vision and a great personality and a good team. Hopefully they give him a facility that's on par with his peers. And if they do, I have no doubt Tennessee baseball will make money and will be, you know, a force in the league. And I'm interested. I really think, and John, you've been through it all, so I can have this conversation with you. Other than 93, 94, 95, 96, what is that, 4 years? 93, 94, 95, yep. 96. Like those 4 years, I think you'd say, man, Tennessee had it going, right?
Right.
Like they had it going. It was present. It was future. It was top of the country. It was top of the league, which, you know, top of the league is top of the country. Like, man, they had it going. And then it fell off. And then they had our team. And then it fell off. And then they had Luke's team. And then that was it. And really, that's been it. And so they've never really had a prolonged run where they had it going. You know, people always say, oh, Tennessee baseball's back. And it's like, you know, there's a chance that it's not just back, but it's better than ever. And I think when you look at Tony's roster and you look at the way they're recruiting, like, it's got a chance to be something it's never been. And so that's not a knock on Coach Delmonico, you know, and Coach Simcox. You know, nobody loves them more than me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really look at their tenure, it was a little bit start and stop, right?
Right.
Whereas this deal, I mean, 2019, they're in the regional final. 2020, they were 15-2 with, you know, a first rounder that basically hadn't pitched. Here they are, you know, top five in the country. And it doesn't look like it's going to slow down. It's not like, oh, they got a bunch of juniors and seniors and this deal's going to start all over again next year. That's not what this feels like. So I'm excited. You can probably hear that in my voice maybe a little bit. But I just think it is a unique series. But more than that, John, I think we're entering we have the potential to be entering into a stretch that rivals that 93 to 96 stretch, but maybe if we can keep Tony and keep him happy and give him the tools that he needs, stretch a lot farther than that.
Chris, always appreciate your time. And again, this was something that you've been made for from the time that you arrived at Tennessee as a freshman in terms of just how you break down the game. I know you hate missing the opportunity to be on hand and watch the guys take BP and things like that, but here's hoping that we get to see you much sooner rather than later.
Well, I feel pretty safe saying this. I'll see you in Hoover.
Yes, sir. have great calls this weekend, Chris, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. You too, John. Thanks, buddy.
And that's Vol for Life, Chris Burke. Jimmy, I think he likes the path that the Volunteers are on, as do several.
Why, yeah. Why wouldn't you? Yeah, you got to love the path they're on. And I'm looking forward to what should be a tremendous series against Vanderbilt this weekend.
That's right. So certainly appreciate Chris's time. I'm John Wilkerson. Jimmy Hyams is right where the Turnpike in Oak Ridge meets up with Illinois Avenue at Stimulus Motors.
And we're joined by Mr. Stimuli. Scott Grum. What do you say, Mr. Stimuli? How
is
you
that,
doing?
Would that be the plural? Plurality? Or is that me, you, and John, the Stimuli group?
Yeah, that's us.
The
yeah.
Stimuli
yeah.
trio.
We're performing tonight at 8.
Oh, thank you, East Tennessee, for, I'll tell you what, ringing the bell. And you faithful sports talk listeners, they just keep coming in, Jimmy. I'm not kidding. Another customer. Sports talk. I'm like, stop it. Pinch me. Say it ain't so. Evidently, everyone wants some stimulus these days. And the nice thing is you can keep your stimulus and get up to $2,800 worth of stimulus on your brand new Oak Ridge Nissan.
How about that? Well, a great attractive deal. 0% financing for up to 84 months.
Yeah, I'm telling you, right now it's Special Motors. I'm telling you, we got 0% for 84 months. We can go no payments till next year. I mean, it's just one thing after another, and so you get to choose. It's like Burger King. You can have it your way. You get to choose which direction you want to go, and don't forget, if you got a trade, you got it made. Another dealer's telling these customers they owe too much. Losers! Hey, listen, bottom line is, I hear that all the time, and the way we're the number one Nissan dealer month after month, year after year, once another dealer tells them that, guess what they do? They make the 10-minute drive. Save yourself some time and make the drive first. And you don't have to go through the brain damage at another often imitated, never duplicated wannabe. Anyway, did I say that on the radio?
I didn't hear it.
Yes.
Whoops. Mere slippage, folks. Hey, but we're just really thankful. And, you know, the math is easy when you make the 10-minute drive. More for yours plus less for ours equals you saving thousands of dollars, and that's what makes dreams come true and makes people come back.
That's stimulus right there, isn't
it? Serious stimuli.
Yes, sir. All right. And if you have a little bump in the road with your credit, you'll work with folks.
Hey, bad credit, slow credit, even recent bankruptcy. If you can fog a mirror, make the 10-minute drive, and you'll leave here in a brand-new Oak Ridge Nissan. I'm just telling you, people don't – other dealers – we're doing deals that other dealers can't or will not do. And sometimes you just got to step up to the plate, and you got to lose a little bit. Sometimes we lose a lot on a car deal, but guess what? We sell a car, and we get a customer. And I'll tell you what, folks, we're just thankful that you all come out here and support us, and we're going to take care of you. And it's like Christmas all the time. Ho, 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 sell to the public. Christmas in April. Whoa, stop it.
Number one Nissan dealer in the state of Tennessee.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. God drop.
waiting for you where Illinois Avenue meets up with the Turnpike. That's Oak Ridge Nissan. Hour number three of Sports Talk's coming up. A lot of Tennessee football and more Tennessee baseball. We've got comments from Tony Vitello next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.